I think it's such a dream for every athlete, and everything is always centered and focused on these Olympic Games. Like, it's just everywhere constantly. And to me, I really had to find my flow. And yeah, when you cross the finish line, there's just everything is in your head. Like, you can't even pinpoint.
Hey everyone, it's Richie Bird, joined by Eric Bjorling, and welcome back to the Better With Bikes podcast. Today we got to sit down with 2021 Olympic gold medalist Yolanda Neff. Along with winning the gold at last year's games for women's mountain biking, she is a 14-time World Cup champion, 16-time elite world European or Swiss national champion, and was named Pink Bike's 2021 Comeback Athlete of the Year. It was great talking to Yolanda. We got to chat with her for about an hour, so we've actually broken this up into two episodes. The episode you're listening to right now, where we dive into her win at the Olympics, all she had to overcome leading up to it. She literally broke her hand 6 weeks before the Olympics and was also coming off major injuries from late 2019 that carried into 2020, making what she accomplished even more remarkable. We also got to talk to her about the upcoming season, the team, and how her life's changed since the big win. The second episode we're releasing with her was a lightning round that really took on a life of its own. It was a fun episode to do with her. She revealed some shocking secrets about peak athletic and life performance, and we got to know her better on several levels, so make sure to tune into that. And if you want even more of Yolanda, we did an episode with her that covers most of her backstory a couple of years ago on the same podcast, which we'll link in the show notes. Before we dive in, just a reminder, please subscribe to the Better With Bikes podcast and write a review. We'd love to hear from you, and that helps us get more ears on these stories. All right, let's catch up with Yolanda. You're coming off of the biggest victory of your career. You're an Olympic gold medalist. Where's your headspace at this year compared to past years?
It's definitely a different approach for me. You know, I want to keep the fire, and I want to keep the fire for racing and love what I do. And I still love to ride my bike and love to race my bike. But yeah, it comes with a, you know, it's just a bit different. Everything is a bit different. You are not maybe as carefree and as maybe free in your head anymore as I was 10 years ago when I first came onto the World Cup scene, you know, when nobody kind of expect something for you. Like, you expect something from yourself, of course, and you have your personal goals, but you're just chasing your goals, and everything is exciting and everything is fun and cool. And I would love to just like have that same mindset again and yeah, just be there to enjoy the ride and yeah, find everything cool and exciting. And yeah, at the same time, so you've had some success already, so in a way you just try to, you know, live up to a standard that you have already set for yourself and that everybody else in the world is measuring you with. Like, yeah, if you don't win the world championships, if you don't win the World Cup, if you don't win everything, like, it's like people are like, oh, but you've done that in the past. Why are you not doing it now? So it's like sometimes, you know, it's like a different feeling about it all. But I think the best feeling I've ever had was when I first came onto the scene, and I just enjoyed everything and loved everything. And I think that's going to be my mantra for this year, to just be in the same mindset again and just like be like the young kid who comes to races and yeah, just enjoy everything and have fun and maybe be a bit wiser now than I was 10 years ago. But if that's the one good thing I can take from these 10 years, then that's good.
It's interesting you say that. It makes sense, though, because in my mind, I was thinking, oh, maybe she feels like she has less pressure on herself because she's pretty much accomplished everything that anyone could dream of. But it does make sense that now there's a even higher bar, higher standard, higher expectations going into every race.
Yeah, honestly, to me, it's not even the pressure, you know. It's funny, like, everybody always talks like, oh, there's a lot of pressure. But to me, it's more about the time management. It's about all the demands that come from all sides that you have to fulfill. And, you have to take 20 photos on the way from your tent to the start line, and you have to sign autographs, and you have to do interviews, and you have to do events for your sponsors. And it's just a lot more that piles up around your daily life. Like when you start out, all you have to care about is training, and you care about training, recovery, and everything else is like free time, and it's great, and you have still enough time for everything else. And then when you go to the Olympics, there's suddenly like so much more interest from traditional media, who is usually not caring about mountain biking, and who suddenly everybody has a question for you, and everybody wants you on their show and wants you to say something here and send a photo for this, and couldn't you give a jersey for this charity auction, and you know, like suddenly everybody wants something from you. And to me, this is what I feel in my daily life. Pressure is always like something that is up in the air, that's not really touchable, you know. But to me, the thing that I really feel is the higher demands that come with it. And this is just something I felt in the last half year, and that I feel still now, that there's just so much more I have to fulfill. And like people expect me to fulfill it, because you have to be friendly to everyone. You have to, you know, people expect you to do it. So it's like a thin line. I sometimes have to, yeah, how do you manage it that you can still, I want to be friendly to everyone and I want to fulfill their wishes, but at the same time, I'm an athlete and I need to train and I need to recover. And, you know, to bring all that together, I think this is what for me is the challenge, which you could maybe call more pressure, but to me, it's just like a more of a challenge in the daily life to deal with all this, because I love racing and I love the biggest races and I love to win and all that. But the challenge for me is the time management.
You just touched on how things have changed since your Olympic gold medal and some of the challenges that come along with that. What are some of the positives that have come along with the gold medal in your life changing?
Oh, there's like for sure some positives that you like couldn't even imagine, or like that's like sometimes you feel like, is this real? Like for sure. It's just like people are so happy and excited to see you, and also they help you with everything. It's, for example, last summer I was flying back to Madison to Wisconsin for the track cyclocross races, the World Cups, and I went into the airplane, sat down on my seat in economy class, and this lady from the airplane company walks up to me and she was like, excuse me, would you please follow me? We have a seat for you in business class. And she just like, they just gave me a free upgrade. And this has never happened to me in my life before. And it was just like, they were so happy to have me in business class. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. there are things happening that you would never expect and that are just like, yeah, kind of mind blowing. And yeah, so many people, they get so happy when they can take a photo with you. And it's sometimes I'm just amazed, like you can make someone stay and you can make someone happy by taking a photo. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's an easy way to make someone happy. And like, yeah, it's like so much energy. So that's surely something that I'm like, yeah, it's something I think only the Olympics can kind of do this, or our sport is still rather a smaller sport compared to, you know, whatever, tennis or Formula One or yeah, soccer or whatever. So, but the Olympics really gives our sport a spotlight, and the whole world is following and the whole country is following. And I think this is what makes it, things are happening afterwards that you would never expect.
That's a special place to occupy, I think, and in the world, when you can turn someone's day around just by just jumping in a photo. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I cannot relate to that, but it sounds like an amazing thing.
I get asked to take a lot. I'm not in the photo, but I get asked to take the photos a lot. Yeah, I get that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, me and Eric are taking the photos back here. We are not in those. Hey everyone, it's Richie Burke, and I wanted to let you know to celebrate the relaunch of the Better With Bikes podcast, we are currently giving away a Trek Verve hybrid bicycle. We're also giving away 3 WaveCell helmets and 3 Trek Circuit jerseys. You can simply enter to win in the show notes. There's a link there, so if you're listening to this on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to, just go to the show notes, click the link, and it's really easy to enter to win. Thanks again for tuning in to the Better With Bikes podcast. Let's get back to the show. Winning a gold medal is a remarkable accomplishment, as is, but you had to overcome a lot. You suffered a major injury in 2019 where you ruptured your spleen, fractured your ribs, and had a partially collapsed lung. And then even a month before, you broke your hand and you continued riding in that race and got fourth place. But can you talk about just all you've been through the last couple of years, and did that make winning that gold medal even sweeter?
For sure it did. I mean, it was like, yeah, I mean, the last 4 years, it's still like, I still get emotional now when I think about it. And when I think about everything that has happened, it's just like, you know, up to say like all the years before, like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, I was winning every year. Like I won either world championships or the World Cup overall every year for 5 years in a row. And then in 2019, I had this accident and I really didn't know, yeah, could I even ride a bike again? And could I even come back? And is my body still able to perform on the highest level? And it was just this question mark. And I kept training, and also I got back into training and kept training. And yeah, I had a lot of, even in that first year, it was hard because my body wouldn't react exactly the same way on training. I wouldn't recover as quickly. It was just hard to find a balance. How far could I even push and what could I not do? And it took me another year to like get back into racing and slowly work my way up. And even when it was about the qualification for the Olympic Games, you know, I was still just like on my way, coming back, building up my shape. I had to be very careful. I couldn't push too much. I just had to take care of everything. And then, yeah, finally that race where I then broke my hand, that was the first race where I could feel like my shape is coming back and I'm finally feeling competitive again for the first time since my crash. That was like such an, that race to me was worth so much, just mentally, just to know like I'm on the right path, I'm coming back. And yeah, that I broke the hand, to me it was just like a little side story, because I just knew I had the feeling back. And I mean, yeah, of course I didn't want to break my hand, but you know, when I heard that I broke my hand, I was like, it's just a bone, you know, this is pretty, I'm fine with a bone, you know, I've had worse things. So I was quite happy to hear that, result after, yeah, having that race. And I knew like, okay, this is going to take 6 weeks to be fully healed. We have exactly 6 weeks to the Olympic Games. I knew I had to make the most of every day, and I had to use every day in the best possible way that I could. And that's what I did. And I just had one goal, and I did everything for it. And I had such a good time, because every single day I could see progress and I could see how I was feeling better and getting stronger. And yeah, then the race in Tokyo was actually my first race, my first international race that I won again since having my big crash. And you know, it was just everything together. It was the first race that I won. And I think even if it would have been a different race, not the Olympics, I would have been so happy just to win the race. And then it was the Olympics. It was like a double win. It was, for me personally, it was a journey to get there. And then, of course, it was the Olympics. And the Olympics, it's a whole other story altogether as well. So it was like, it was pretty unbelievable and yeah, very emotional.
Oh, that was an amazing, amazing story. Can we talk about actually the morning of that race? You know, I think your team had a little bit of a different preparation or a different mindset going into that. Can you walk us through like that morning and leading up to it?
Yeah. So in the morning, it started to rain already. The days before the race, we saw on the forecast that there was a big storm coming in, and there were even talks about postponing the race or, yeah, doing whatever with the race, because there was apparently like a typhoon coming, like a really, really big storm that could even destroy the track. And I was just like, oh my God, please not. I love the track. Please keep the track. I want to have this race. I love the course. I love everything about it. And I was just really hoping we could have the race. And then when they said in the morning that there was rain, it was raining, like I still remember I looked out of the window and I could see the rain, and it was like heavy, heavy rain. And I even made a movie with my phone. I was just so happy about this rain. I was like so stoked, because yeah, rain is like my favorite condition, and I love racing in the rain. And even though during the race, it wasn't like full on rain anymore, it actually stopped for the race. It was just raining hard in the morning, but it was still, you know, muddy, slippery. Yeah, like a rainy race. So that's what I love the most, is my favorite conditions, because yeah, your skills just come into play so much more even than they would usually. And that's really what I love about mountain biking. And so yeah, I was just so stoked when I saw the rain. I was just so happy.
What was that morning like with the team? How were you feeling mentally? You dream about this moment for years, and it only comes around once every 4 years. What was that like going into it?
Yeah, I was in a great place. I was like, I was happy. I was stoked. And honestly, we had a great team around us, because every single team who was there, everybody was freaking out. Like all the mechanics of all different nations, all the coaches, like nobody really knew what tires to mount, because like, the very important thing was that you couldn't put the rain tires on because there were so many rocks. So with a rain tire, you would just slip off those rocks. You would have grip in the muddy sections, but if you have to ride over rocks, it's always more important to get over the rocks safely than get through the mud fast. So some teams made the wrong decision, and some teams, they put rain tires on their bikes, which was the worst possible thing you could do, because the rocks were so slick and they were so wet, you would just slide off it. And so our team, luckily, they were all on it. I mean, they were all stressed out to the max. And it was such a, like, these like 2 hours before the race, everyone was like running around, shouting, finding tires, finding wheels. They had to be mounted, and yeah, it was hectic pure, like for everyone, every single team, and for our team, no different. But we made the right decisions, and that was really the game changer. Yeah, all three girls of us, so Linda, Sina, and I, we all had the perfect tires on with which we could ride on the rocks. The material was there, it was ready. We had everything dealt in, and yeah, we had been preparing for this race like, yeah, for a long time, and you know, taking care of all the little details. We did a great preparation together as a team, and yeah, it was, we were ready for it. And yeah, of course, it was a very high stress situation, and you could just see and feel at the start line, like so many people were stressed out. Like some people were in tears already before the start because they were so freaked out. And yeah, you know, in the end, it was like a real mountain bike race. It was really mountain biking. You had to have skills. You had to have power. The uphills were super steep. The downhills were technical. So yeah, everything really had to come together. And I was so stoked about this, and that we could actually do this for the Olympics. And, you know, people who watched it all over the world, they were like, wow, this is a cool sport. Like this is mountain biking. This is so cool. Like I think it was really awesome.
Was there a certain point in the race where you knew you were going to win?
I think until I crossed the finish line, I wanted to cross the finish line, and I wanted to be safe and sure, because even in the last uphill, you know, you could still slip out and, or you could rip your chain apart, or you can have a flat tire, or every downhill, you had to be so precise every single downhill. If you go 2 inches off the line, you basically crash. So every single, and you know, in the morning we rode the track, and even in the morning I like slipped out on a rock that I wanted to ride down, just because you have to be so precise. Like everything has to be perfect. And for the whole race, and you know, your heart rate is at 180, 190, 200, maybe. And you're like on the limit, and you still have to ride down these rocks as like perfectly precise. There's like no room for error. So I just knew in my head, I just wanted to ride clean and safe and smooth and nice to the finish line. And to me, it was really the finish line. Like maybe 50 meters before the finish line, when I turned onto the tarmac, that's maybe when I kind of knew, but like, I was like, okay, I'm going to cross the finish line and then I'm going to do whatever, but I want to get there.
And Yolanda, you've got a kind of a unique background in that you race cyclocross, you race road, you race downhill, Tennessee state champion.
Tennessee state champ.
listen to Yolanda's first episode on the Better with Bikes podcast for that story. Do you think that multidiscipline approach that you take, and the fact that, yeah, you can rip downhill, like, do you think that had something to play with it as well? As far as like, I'm not scared of wet rocks.
You know, I did an enduro race in November last year. That was a first.
How was that? Did you like that? That would be pretty
cool.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was in North Carolina. So it was fun. It was cool.
Did you win that too?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. it was cool. Like, well, honestly.
What do these other riders in Tennessee and North Carolina think when you roll up to the race and you've never done one of those before, and then you just walk away with the title?
Well, I don't know what
I'm
they
sure
think,
they love you. But,
I wasn't there last week. Last week there was another race in Tennessee, and I didn't go there, so they must have been happy. But you know, to me, it's like, what I love the most is racing cross country. And I truly feel like I was born for this. And it's like the perfect sport for me. And it embodies everything I love. And it's perfect. And at the same time, I love to just try new things, to have fun on the bike, to do something different. And everything I do, you know, in the end, I still always feel like it brings me something. Like it helps me in some kind of way for cross country. Like from cyclocross, you can take so much from, you know, the intensity, how you ride corners, the technical stuff, the bike is so different. Then from the road, you can learn so much in a tactical sense, like how do I do a race? What's my strategy? You can learn something from intensity. The intensity is so different when there is an attack. And you know, same from downhill and enduro. I really haven't done much of it. I've done one race each, like one downhill and one enduro. But you know, even there, you can learn so much, and it's just so much fun to try something new, to jump into some race format that you've never done before. It's just something different, and when you go do it with a group of friends, it's just fun, and you know, you have a great day on the bike. And I mean, I love to go to cross country races, but I've been doing that now for 23 years, almost every weekend of my summer. So it's just very, like, very fun to me to try something new. And it's always a good learning experience.
What was, when you crossed the finish line at the Olympics, what was going through your head in that moment and after?
I think just everything, just like, yeah, it was just like unbelievable, you know, like it's I think it's such a dream for every athlete. And yeah, especially in mountain biking, you know, there is one gold medal to win. It's not like biathlon or skiing or, you know, where you have maybe 5, 6, 7 different disciplines. And then in all of biathlon, you have maybe 10 different Olympic champions. It's really in cycling, like in mountain biking, there's one mountain bike race. We don't have a short track race, or we don't have a marathon race. It's just cross country mountain biking. It's this one race, and it's like the pinnacle of the sport. And not even just for mountain biking, but I think also for other sports, it's like the Olympics is just like, yeah, that it's just like the highest thing. And to me personally, it was also, yeah, I mean, the whole life already when you race, when you do, you know, national team camps or like when you sign for a team, or there's always these talks about the Olympics, like all contracts are shaped. Okay, we sign you until the next Olympic Games, or there is like a development of a new bike. We want to have this bike ready for the next Olympic Games. And like everything is always centered and focused on these Olympic Games. Like it's just everywhere constantly. And to me, I really had to find my flow and had to let go also of some expectations and just had to find my happy place and my enjoyment in what I do. And I think in the end, this is what brought me success in the Olympic Games too, because I think you can easily go crazy about it if you care too much about it. And I think, to me, the key was that I could just enjoy it and relax. And yeah, when you cross the finish line, there's just everything is in your head. Like you can't even pinpoint. It's just like, I also thought about my parents and my friends and everyone who supported me on the way and my team and the people. And these are also the first people you talk to after the race. Like I had a call with Tim from Trek, and I got a message from John Burke as well. And, you know, it's just like, these are also the people who are there with you the years before, and then to celebrate that, enjoy together with them. That's one of the most rewarding things.
And your dad, I believe, was one of your first coaches, or coached you for a number of years. I think that had to be a special moment.
Yeah, for my whole life, basically, he was my coach. He was there with me every step of the way. First time I rode a bike in my life. All my life, it was like a massive part of everything. And as my mom as well, I mean, she supported me in every possible way all my life. And I think it was for sure the whole family involved. But at the same time, I was also so glad that, you know, we still had, as a family, we had a life that I would say, you know, we did and we cared about other things too. Because I have a sister and I have a brother, and they both ride bikes, but they ride bikes for fun. And so, you know, they have other things that they do in life. And I think that also always had some room. And, you know, I think that made me very grounded and very, like, it gave me a great, you know, base where I could return to any time and any day. And it's just like, the same family, and you feel safe and great, and it's not just biking there, but I did have all the support I could ever wish for from my family.
You know, one thing I think that's interesting about the games is that I think the games has this unique ability to inspire another generation, and I think you have so many people watching and exposed to that could get into the sport or could be inspired or to ride more to compete because of that accomplishment. Do you have any advice for people either just getting into the sport, young racers who may be looking for some direction?
Yeah, my number one advice is always like find friends, you know, where you can do your sport together with. Keep it fun, you know, like, yeah, go ride with friends, because you will have more fun when you ride with friends than just by yourself. Of course, you can also ride by yourself every now and then if you enjoy it, but just like, find friends who have the same interests, who have the same hobbies, that you can do group rides together. It's just, it's so much fun. It's so motivating. And you can progress together. You can push each other. And that's always my number one advice.
Big thank you to Yolanda Neff for coming back on the Better With Bikes podcast and taking us inside her journey and all she had to overcome to win her first Olympic gold medal. Make sure to head over to the Lightning Round for more content with Yolanda. Please subscribe and write a review to the podcast if you have not already. We'd love to hear from you. And just a reminder that this show is powered by Trek Bicycle. And until next time, ride bikes, have fun, feel good.